Welcome to the Kanakuk Institute podcast, where we continue to equip leaders with biblical skills for a lifetime of ministry. We are so excited today to be coming to you from the Kanakuk Institute podcast. And today, Keith Chancey's here and along with Pat Zuckerin, and we are so excited to answer some questions that maybe you've been asking. And you know, as always, we want to help you guys to understand how your faith is so important and how you view God's Word is the most important thing ever. So today what we're going to do is we're going to hear from our Pat Zuckerin. Pat, will you tell us a little bit about your background and where you come from?
Yeah, Keith, great to be here at the Kanakuk Institute again. It must be going over 10 years now that I've been coming here, and it's just been fantastic every time. We get the cream of the crop here at Kanakuk, you know. And yeah, Keith, you know, I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii. Grew up there. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a Japanese Buddhist home, but I went to a very liberal Episcopal high school. So I was exposed to Christianity, but you know, we were taught it's pretty much fairy tale and folklore, and growing up in the Japanese Buddhist home. So a kind of syncretistic kind of mix of all different religions. But then, you know, at 16, I began studying, you know, asking the big questions of life. Why am I here? What's the reason for my existence? You know, why is the universe here? You know, what happens after death? And I began studying my Buddhist roots and the other religions. We got a lot of religions that were exposed in Hawaii. And I found out most of it's based on folklore and mythology, you know, and I was taught Christianity is the same. And so I simply became an atheist. And so for my sophomore, junior year, I thought science had all the answers, and that's what I was doing, being an atheist.
Wow. You just said a mouthful. And as you said that, Pat, I was overwhelmed with just hearing your background growing up in a Japanese Buddhist home. What do you think tweaked your interest in really understanding who Jesus is?
Well, you know, a good friend of mine, we were on the baseball team together. I was a shortstop. He was a third baseman, and he came to faith in Christ. And I thought, well, that's, you know, that religion stuff, that folklore and mythology. And he kept inviting us to church, and I'd never want to go. But finally, he kind of tricked me into going. He said, we're going to, you know, work out on Sunday morning, going to have a good workout and all. So I said, all right. But before we did, he drove us all to church, you know. And so I sat down there, but I heard the message of the gospel for the first time. And that, you know, there is a God who created this universe, who loves us and desperately wants a personal relationship with us, and made it possible by actually coming to earth and dying on the cross for our sins to make this relationship possible. And that really intrigued me. You know, I'd never heard anything like it before. I thought it was an incredible story, you know, and I thought, I prayed on the pew, you know, the guy made the salvation invitation, and I just prayed in the pew. I said, God of the Bible, if you're real, you know, I want to get to know you. So that's kind of where it all began, the investigation began.
Wow, that's great, Pat. You know, I think of your friend that was a friend enough to hear about the gospel and then come tell you about the gospel. Pat, what do you think was the most important part that we as an audience could take from that? Of what did he do that made you interested enough to want to seek out the things of Christ?
Well, you know, he really didn't do anything.
That's awesome.
It was really the message. He just got us to church.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of tricked us there, but he got us to church. And it was the message. I was searching for hope and meaning in my life. And I had come to as an atheist, come to realize if God does not exist, if there's nothing beyond the grave, if we are an accident, just natural causes of time and natural causes, if that's all we are, everything ends in death and annihilation and extinction. Mm-hmm. You know, one day the universe is going to run out of energy, mankind's going to die, the universe is going to die. It was just so depressing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's the dark reality that, you know, if you hold to an atheist worldview that you come to, and that's the dark reality I came to. So when I heard that message, really, it really was a message of hope that I had never really heard before. I don't think he knew enough to articulate it. He just knew enough to somehow get me to church. Yeah. And that's where I heard that message, which really sparked my interest.
Pat, that's great. And You know, I love what you just said. He didn't really do anything other than he just came and invited us to church. And, you know, I think sometimes we think that we need to be more engaging to people, but yet the greatest engagement is get them to the church. Get them where they can hear the truth. It's not that you have to all have all the answers, but it's that you take someone to the place where they can find the answers. And for you being an atheist, you came in and you go, wow, there is something more than this darkness that I felt and believed in. There's a hope, and the hope was in Christ. You know, Pat, you said a lot of things about Christ. You know, in our world today, we're really struggling, you know, in our views of who Christ is. And what would you say is the most important things that we need to understand is who Christ is today?
Yeah, you know, Jesus Christ made some astounding claims that no one ever made. Well, you know, no sane person made. You know, he claimed to be the divine Son of God. Mm. And when you read the Gospels, the kind of things he was claiming, the authority to give life, the authority to judge all mankind, the authority to forgive everyone's sins, you know, authority over the law, kind of stuff, authority over nature. You're just sitting there going, now, this is not the thinking or the statements of a sane person here. Either this guy is insane or he really was who he said he was. And that's something people need to understand. Jesus wasn't a good teacher or just reciting good teachings. I mean, he made an astounding claim to be the divine Son of God. And the question is, you know, did he confirm that claim or did he not? Mm. And the historical evidence seems to show he affirmed that claim to be the divine Son of God.
Mm. You know, that just gets me pumped up because I know in my world, you know, I had a similar background, not atheist, but I just didn't like God because I believed that if God was good, then why would there be such evil? Why would my dad abuse me? Why would my dad hurt my mom? And why would there be such pain in the world? And what you're saying is that there was just great hope when you look at the reality of who Christ is and what he did, and his substitutionary atonement was so important. Pat, help me understand, because a lot of people in the audience today, they really wrestle with that substitutionary atonement idea. Help me understand that a little bit more clearly.
Yes, you know, the Bible says that we are all guilty of sin. We have all somehow violated God's moral law. Mm-hmm. And God, being a just God, has to judge sin. You know, there's no way he cannot judge sin. He just can't dismiss it. Right. You know, that's not being just. If someone committed a serious crime and the judge in the court just said, well, I'll just dismiss it, we wouldn't say, what a loving judge, what a good judge. No, we'd say, hey, this is an unjust, unloving judge. Mm-hmm. You know, the penalty has to be paid. And so God just can't simply dismiss sin. Someone has to pay the price for sin, and that was supposed to be us. And scripture teaches, you know, 1 Peter, that Christ was righteous and sinless and died in our place, mm-hmm. took our sins upon himself and paid the penalty we could not pay. And as God, the eternal God, being perfect and sinless, therefore he had the ability to take on the sins of the whole world mm-hmm. and pay the price, as the eternal God, pay the price for all mankind forever. So that's, you know, what it means when Christ, the substitutionary atonement of Christ, he died in our place.
Mm, well said. You know, I as I have been working for Kanakuk now for 44 years, you know, I've watched tens of, literally hundreds of thousands of kids come through. And it seems like what they do is they had this picture of, I went to the cross, I made a decision at the cross at camp, but when they go back home, it seems like they fall back into their sin, and they look forward to next year going back to camp to experience the cross. What would you say to that type of faith that they're gaining in how they view Christ?
Yeah, you know, Jesus, you know, in many of the passages in the gospel, calls us to a life of discipleship. Mm. You know, Christianity is not just a one-time, you know, commitment, like marriage. It's not just, hey, I said I love you at the altar and that's it. Don't ever have to do anything again. No, we've got to constantly nurture that relationship. And that's what it's like in our walk with Christ. We make a commitment to Christ, and then he calls us to a life of discipleship, to follow him, to obey his word, to take up our cross daily, die to ourselves, put him number one on the throne of our life and follow him, to know his word, to obey his word. And that's really where the crux of, you know, discipleship is all about, daily walking with Christ. So it doesn't stop at that commitment. You know, from there on, we daily follow Christ. It's like, you know, you play professional sports. You know, you don't just say, hey, I'm on the team. That's it. I'm done. I can eat any way I want. I don't need to exercise. I don't need to work out. I'm on the team. No, you got to work at it to be, you know, the best player you can be. You know, and that's what the life of the athlete is called to. And that's what the life of discipleship is about, a daily walking with Christ.
You hit the nail right on the head. And you know, when these kids make these decisions at camp and they go, I made a decision, I got saved, but then they go home and they don't get involved with discipleship. They don't ask someone to disciple them. They don't get involved in the church. They're going to begin to, they don't lose their salvation, but they walk in a place of darkness. Yeah. And it's, and they think getting back to camp is the answer. Camp is a great answer, but it's not the answer. Discipleship is the answer. And so I love that you said that, Pat. How important is that for us as we continue to be discipled and growing in our faith with Christ? What is a couple of points that you think that we could take away in as we understand Christ? What are some disciplines, Pat, that you have? You were an atheist. Mm-hmm. When you became a Christian, what are some disciplines that you take upon yourself to really grow in your walk with Christ?
Well, you know, one thing, of course, is to study God's word. Mm. But God speaks not only through his word, but through what he has created, what we call general revelation. And so one of the things, the disciplines I had to learn is that Christianity is just not about my personal walk with God. Christianity is all-embracing worldview. Mm. I need to see the world and all that I study through the lens of God's eyes or the Christian worldview. And so to study the sciences, looking at it through the Christian worldview framework, to study psychology, sociology, philosophy, literature, and be looking at it through the Christian worldview, gain a real understanding of truth, discerning truth from error is a tremendous discipline that we need to learn. There's a lot of truth out there in non-Christian sources, but also a lot of error. And so we need that ability to discern truth from error. That's always been one of the great challenges for me and for everyone who walks with Christ.
You know, Pat, if I'm out in the audience today and I'm going, you know what, Pat has made a lot of sense today. He's telling me to, I need to understand who Christ is. I need to base my life on the facts, that these facts are real. They're very valid. And once I do come to Christ, I need to be discipled. I need to grow. If you're out in the audience today and you're struggling, Pat has said, go back to the church. Get involved in discipleship. Look at the Bible. Begin to study the Bible, the authenticity of the Bible, and that it is real, and that who Christ said about himself is valid. And that just begin to understand that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing in the world. Guys, we are so excited today that you have been a part with Pat Zuckerin, Keith Chansey, the Kanakuk Institute. We're thankful for you guys, and may you have the most blessed day ever. And thank you guys for being a part of our podcast, and we can't wait to talk to you again soon. Hey, have a nice day. Bye-bye.